The following podcast is sponsored by SuperheroStuff.com.
It would be nice, but I'm a little skeptical that it's even going to happen.
Well, we know the one movie is happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, then the Feig thing. Of course, then they're all sitting out there. Well, this pulls the rug out from under Feig's production.
No, it doesn't.
No.
But I think that they had, well, on one hand, I think that they had just gotten to the point where people were finally, you know, because remember there was almost a little bit of backlash.
Right.
And so when people were finally just getting to the point where it was like, okay, this is happening. All right, fine, whatever. And then this comes along. I can imagine some people being upset about it because it's like, well, wait a minute.
Nobody's complaining that they're expanding the franchise. It's the feminists group that are complaining we're getting an all-male Ghostbusters when they just announced the all-female Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And it's that's the vocal.
But the, also
group.
Remember that a lot of these, a lot of the idea of an all-female Ghostbusters caught a lot of flack initially.
Yeah.
So if you happen to be a female fan who is really, really annoyed that the female version of this cast is catching all the flack all of a sudden the studio turns around and sits there and says, oh, it's okay, we got an all-guy version. As a woman, I'd probably be pissed off. I'd probably be annoyed.
Well, I mean, yeah, and granted, the reaction to the whole all-female thing, I didn't think going the all-female route was the best way to go either, but not because I don't like women. I mean, I like women fine, but the idea of the team just completely being gender-bent, it felt like since we had gone from Aykroyd and the Originals in a sequel to Aykroyd and the Originals handing off to a younger team of a mixed group, to now suddenly it's a complete new reboot, all female, and they're at the same Columbia University, and the setup is pretty much essentially the same. It really felt like they were gender bending the original as opposed to doing a sequel, which it turns out this is kind of essentially a sequel. So it wasn't presented right to begin with. I'm perfectly fine. If you want to do an all-female team, fine. But do an all-female team that's an original all-female team and not a flipping the plumbing on the original team.
Well, but also with this, I mean, they, you know, also bear in mind from their point of view, they may have felt exactly the same way about the announcement. There was going to be a male version of the film. Presentation is everything.
It could be. I don't know.
I am less concerned about that sort of thing than I am concerned about the fact that one Ghostbusters film, no matter who's in it, the fact that it looks like, you know, it's finally gonna get off the ground. Hey, that's okay. Let's see what we can do with it. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Already, it's a franchise. We haven't shot a frame.
Oh, I know. We're gonna do books and we're gonna do TV shows.
Pretty sure the scripts aren't even done. So hey, let's already jump to franchise.
And we've already jumped into our show.
We have.
Yes.
Have we been recording?
Yeah, sure.
Good deal.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just I want a Ghostbusters movie again. I love the Ghostbusters. I think they're great. I mean, I love the first film.
I like the first one. Yeah.
The second film is disappointing, but it's not a terrible movie.
It had some interesting ideas that were not very well executed.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. Welcome, everyone, to this edition of H2O. You guys have been along for the ride long enough that you can catch up with us and just jump right in. We're pretty sure that you're smart enough to keep up and know where we're going. Jason Hunt here, along with Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And this week is the 800-pound gorilla week stomping on our heads. 800
mostly your head.
Mostly mine, yeah, because Planet Comic-Con is this weekend here in Kansas City.
Going to be a lot of fun and a lot of work.
It is, yes. Although, I have to say, I feel much better. Despite the fact that we've got more planned this year, I feel better going into it because, one, I know what to expect in terms of the venue.
Sure.
And two, we actually have a plan. And I've got papers and documents and spreadsheets
and lists. It's a fairly sizable stack of papers.
And I'm thinking, okay, I know what we're doing this year.
Yeah.
We've got people assigned to different tasks and stuff. Things that we didn't have last year. And a lot of that got prompted by my kid having to sit at the booth by himself for nigh on 4 or 5 hours and sitting there going, I don't want to sit here anymore. I want to go see stuff. And he got on to me for making him sit there all this time. And I felt bad about it. You know, I really did. Because it was not the plan for him to sit for 5 hours at the booth by himself. So coming out of that post-mortem discussion, I'll call it, there was a decision that I made early on. It was, okay, we've got to be a little bit more organized this year. So, you know, scheduling time to sit at the booth and scheduling people to be at the cameras to hit the buttons to record and all of that. And, of course, as I pointed out in our planning meeting the other night, you know, whatever plan we come up with, as soon as it meets people, it's going to go out the window. But it's nice going into the event knowing that we've got at least a plan A. And, you know, it gives me, you know, between now and then, I've still got time to put plan C in my pocket.
Well, you know, it's like when we talk about when we shoot a film, you know, no film, no script survives the first second of shooting.
Right. Well, it's like no battle plan survives meeting the enemy.
Right.
And it's the same kind of thing.
And I think but here's the thing. On a film set, you get a good script supervisor, and they will save your butt on continuity throughout the entire. Do we have a script supervisor for this project?
We do not. We do not.
Which one of our band of disreputable individuals could we?
Although I do feel good that after the meeting, we did have a few people not show up,
right?
And so they don't have assignments as of yet,
right?
So when they do show up. When they do show up, we'll have extra hands.
Right.
And then, of course, you found us a couple of other volunteers that have worked with us before and say, hey, you know, you need extra help. We're like, well, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that. We're going to get more T-shirts from Atomic Cotton. They're going to be out there. They do our T-shirts every year. So we're going to get a few more of those. And we are going to be out there at booth 2006.
2006. That wasn't a bad year.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
let's say my kid was 4. I guess it would have been an okay year. Well,
I started acting in Kansas City in 2006. I started. I directed my first film. My first short film in 2006.
2006 would have been my first short film. Back in college, when I went back to college, it would have been my first short film in. Probably, 12 years. Because I moved up here to Kansas City in 1994. And prior to that, I hadn't done anything since University of North Texas. So I probably, 93, 94, is the last, you know, 93 is probably the last time I ever made anything.
I was sitting in the
until
back.
Until 2006.
I was sitting in the back of the Independent Filmmakers Coalition meetings for months. Just watching and listening and soaking it in.
And stalking.
And looking at people's films and saying, okay, I really like that. Maybe I can ask them questions and, ooh, I'd like to work with them and that sort of thing. And finally, our friend Paul Campbell asked me if I'd be interested in being in coming out and helping crew on a film. And it was the first film that I worked on in Kansas City, and it was in a freezing warehouse in January of 2006, January or February.
We
have a big thing for cold.
Get to do those.
And it was miserable, but I had a wonderful time.
Yeah,
and I got to shoot a blood cannon.
That's always fun.
Which for you kids at home, a blood cannon is kind of exactly what it sounds like. If you are doing a scene where you're a character gets shot. And you like your actors, and you want to keep them around, and you realize that you might need a second take, it's advisable not to actually shoot them. So what you'd want to do is it's basically
it's like a high-powered squirt gun.
It's like a high-powered squirt gun, and you basically shoot blood across the room with this thing. And we actually loaded it up with what would come across as brain matter.
Oh, sure.
So cottage cheese. Yeah. Cottage cheese and food coloring. And oh, that was just, wow, we fought to get the color right. And that's one of those things you don't think about. You know?
What does brains look like?
You don't need it to be that purple. So So we had a wonderful, wonderful time. It was a great time, and it was miserable, and it was freezing, and I did two nights of it. Then I ended up acting in it, and it was just, you know, it was all trapped in the world of film ever since.
That was 2006 for you. 2006 for me was, actually, no, it was 2006 was the first short film that I made under the Devonshire Jamestown banner.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that would have been Vanguard Dispatch, mm-hmm. which is the science fiction piece that I did with people recording letters to their home.
Sure.
Which was kind of an experimental thing because all of the actors had to remember their entire 1-3 minute monologues talking straight into the camera because, you know, they're recording letters home. They're not reading anything. You know?
Right, right.
So it was a challenge for them. But I got a lot of good performers there and got a lot of good, you know, got some good material and got to build a spaceship, and you know, it was kind of fun. So we had that and so yeah, 2006 is going to be our booth. See, we rolled that back around like we do, which is actually it's going to be in a good position for us. If you look at the map,
it's really nice.
It is just off the main footpath where everybody's got to walk past to go to the panel rooms mm-hmm. and the gaming room. There's going to be a game room now this year where they're going to have set up all these Xboxes and Nintendos and PlayStations or whatever else they're going to do. And actually, I come to find out, Kansas City is one of three cities nationwide where they're setting this up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting something that most other conventions have not had before yet.
Very nice.
So yeah, it's gonna be really, really, really. There's gonna be tabletop gaming there as well. Besides the electronic gaming, there's gonna be tabletop gaming, which they added that I think last year. They
right, had a room right, yeah,
that
yeah.
they set aside for that. But this year we're gonna have cameras in every panel room is the plan. Which is going to be nice because we won't have to haul it one way to the other, to the other, to the other.
Right, and that feeling that we're always missing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is murder, which you see they're going, but we've got that over there. And
as long as all of the connections stay connected
right,
properly,
right.
And as long as the sound mixers in the rooms,
we don't get
everything
imported.
Plugged in and do that, I think we're going to get some really good panel video this year that we'll be able to post over to YouTube. And we're also going to be posting video to our Facebook page mm-hmm. this year, which, come to find out, since Facebook is trying to compete with YouTube, the choker algorithm that prevents followers from seeing everything you post
mm-hmm.
doesn't quite apply to video you directly upload to Facebook.
Right.
So more people will probably be able to see the stuff that we've got going on. And we're gonna post stuff there throughout the weekend,
right?
As long as we've got a good internet connection.
Well, I think that
we can post those from our phones.
Well, but also I think that I think honestly, there's a good chance that you and I may be bringing home things, uploading as soon as we get home.
Yeah. Plus, we'll be doing photographs. We'll be posting to Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be live tweeting some of the panels.
Yeah.
Including the new one they just announced today.
Yes, I know. I'm a little jealous.
Yes,
I'm a little jealous.
Very, very excited because today we're recording on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight, but we're recording this and we got news today. And this has been percolating for a couple of weeks. We weren't sure exactly
right.
what was going to happen with this. But Ming-Na Wen, who plays Agent May,
mm-hmm.
Just got announced she's going to be in on Saturday.
Yes.
And I sent an email to Kurt and I said, well, you know, we do a podcast about the show she's on. He's like, well, I already assigned the panel to somebody else. I was like, what? What? But yeah, no, we got it all worked out. I am going to be privileged to share the stage with her and moderate. That's going to be Saturday at 11 o'clock. J. August Richards was originally scheduled there, but he's had to reschedule some things, so he's going to be Sunday at 3 now.
What else is going on at 11?
Quick,
to the schedule.
To the schedule.
We use paper here.
We do. Because
we're old school.
Because our buddy over at Google said you need to print stuff out or it will be lost forever. Saturday, you've got J. August Richards in one room, clearly guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Musical group is in the other rooms in the Great Hall. And they're a good group. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And they are gonna be doing family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do have a show that's not.
Is that do they have a later performance that's not?
No. It's funny. They were originally scheduled to perform over in the kids area.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we were over on Big Dumb Fun Show together Monday night.
Right.
And they were telling the story. They were out at they do a lot of performances at Renaissance Fair.
Sure. Yeah.
And depending on the makeup of the audience, they switch whichever show they
right.
do.
Right. Uh huh.
And the people from Planet Comic Con
caught the children's show. Oh, okay.
And they said, yeah, we probably don't want you over the kids area. Not realizing they do more than one kind of show,
right, I guess.
You know, it was like, yeah, and they were sitting there going, yeah, originally we were supposed to be over at the kids show, and then suddenly we weren't.
So. But we got actually some friends of this show and friends of ours who are heavily involved with the Renaissance Fairs here in Kansas City, and
there's a lot of overlap between genre people and Renfest.
But it's always fun watching going out and you can watch them sizing up the audience and determining where can we go, because if you've never been to a Renaissance Fair, you need to go because they're just a lot of fun. Not to mention you can have giant turkey legs and
what's really fun,
damsels and
is going to a Renaissance Fair
stuff.
Dressed as a time traveler. You know, so you dress as a doctor, dress as somebody from Starfleet, you know, because it
happens all the time.
It happens, and it's totally, completely, everybody just plays it straight.
Yeah, nobody, well, you see Darth Vader walking down the quote-unquote Renaissance era line of shops, and you're going, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You see a 2-foot Darth Vader kind of walking down, you can just sit there and watch them, you know, just calculate, because most of the stage shows for the Renaissance Fair are a little racy. A lot of them are family friendly racy.
Yeah, they just get right there.
They dance to the edge, and then sometimes just you know, if you ever stick around for the 5 o'clock show, the 5 o'clock show at the end of the day, is when they sit there and go, well, you stuck around this long.
Yeah, and you've probably had a couple of beers.
We're going to go there now. Yeah. But it's so.
But they're not going to do that kind of show.
Well, I the reason I asked if they were going to do a second show, that you know, the one that was later, that was because I mean, there's not much. There's not much actual night entertainment on this, and there's not too much going on at the nighttime.
Right, and I honestly I don't know if they're going to do anything after hours or not. I know they're scheduled to perform. I think Musical Blades is out there this year.
Oh, right.
So we
got
two different musical acts, which is a first really because we don't really have music at these things very often. We're also going to have a magician, Corzo. I don't know how to pronounce. Back to the
quick to the schedule.
Corso the Curious is going to be out there.
Okay, well I'm curious because I don't know who that is. So.
I don't know. Hopefully he's dressed as Zatara in order to fit in because you know we got cosplay out there. But yeah, it's going to be a great lineup. Karen Gillan's going to be there.
Yep, I'm going to be shooting that and live tweeting it.
Yes, we're going to have Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your Guardians of the Galaxy contingent.
Yeah. Also, a little bit of your Walking Dead contingent.
Walking Dead with Michael Rooker and Scott Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And then also from Doctor Who, because we have Karen Gillan, we have two Amy Ponds. We've got Caitlin Blackwood,
right,
who played young Amy Pond when the Doctor first showed up.
I want to see what she looks like now because she's growing up quickly. I mean, this is what happens with, you know.
Yes, she is. And come to find out, she is Karen Gillan's cousin.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I knew that.
Some people knew that. I didn't know that.
You never asked.
Well, I knew that a few weeks ago.
Right.
I found it when it first, well, they I think, were first I think announced it was going to be on.
It actually worked out really, really well because you kind of believe, looking at the two of them, you know how some children do not look like they're going to grow up into that person.
Right.
And she looks like you could. We don't have John Barrowman.
No,
he was originally planned.
He had a work thing. But we do have Stephen Amell.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to be doing that panel as well.
And who is Stephen Amell?
Stephen Amell.
What did he do?
Something to do with abs.
Yeah. How are your crunches going?
None. I'm not. I just decided it's not worth it.
See, what happened is Stephen Amell is Oliver Queen, or not yet Green Arrow, but he will be green.
That's going to be the first question I ask him. When are you going to be Green Arrow?
Yeah, because it's... but he's... And Jason is going to be moderating that. And when he first found out he was going to do this, he was like,
yeah,
I'm going to need to start doing crunches.
Yes.
All the crunches. Because yes. I don't want to be in sitting. So none. Not a single one, huh?
No. I've been too busy.
Well, that's true.
I've been too busy trying to get all this stuff done. Well, besides all of the Planet Comic Con, all the Sci-Fi for Me stuff.
Right.
Because we recorded two podcasts on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this one, and we're recording another one later on after this one.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the articles that still haven't been written yet. On top of all of that, then you have the day job, where I've been working on playing catch-up on that stuff. I ended up shooting a video for a fashion show.
Right.
And you and I have talked about this a little bit. This thing has turned into a... nightmare-ado,
mm-hmm.
because of the sound.
Right.
And it's just been one of those things, just one thing after another has been taken care of. So I was actually up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night working on stuff. Just every kind of thing, because we're doing little sizzle introduction reels for everybody at the panels. And I've just started on those. So I just like, oh yeah, let me look at my to-do list.
Yeah, I was up quite late myself last night. It was not intentional. They were just ripping up a huge chunk of the road across the street from me.
Oh yeah.
It was all quiet, and they were all gone this morning.
Oh.
But at 1 o'clock in the morning, and my day starts at 5.
Well,
1 o'clock in the morning is like no.
And you and I were on Booze Hounds Radio.
Yep.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then I did Big Dumb Fun Show.
Yeah.
Last night, and then the teleconference planning the Planet Comic Con. So we didn't get done with that till about 10:30.
Right.
So it was late when I got started working.
We're used to late nights anyway. I mean, this is just, you know, by being writers, by being, you know, by being in the website, the website keeps us up at night. The film stuff keeps us up at night. The writing, just any of the stuff that we enjoy to do, a lot of that stuff ends up being, you know,
yeah,
like a lot of creative types, we end up, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot to go to bed.
Well, and being here in the basement area where the studio is and the office and all of that, I don't have any windows.
Yeah, you don't have any sense of...
no sense of time passing whatsoever. I came up out of the cave today and, you know, let the dog out, and I looked at my watch and suddenly it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, what?
Hang on.
What? 5 o'clock? What's going on there? You know, you lose your sense of time.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the whole perception of time passing. You know, yeah, I got clocks everywhere. You know, I got clock on the laptop.
Yeah, but you know,
you get into writing
on the computer or you're editing or something like that, and all of a sudden you sit there and go, Hang on. How long have I been here?
Yeah.
And why is my coffee cold? And oh crap, my coffee's cold.
Yes.
And you run upstairs and you sit there. What day is this? Oh crap, oh my God.
Oh, I have lost track of how many times that's happened to me where I don't know what day it is. Where I'm thinking it's Tuesday and it's actually Wednesday. Or I think it's Thursday and it's actually Wednesday, or I think it's Wednesday and it's actually Friday. And it's My days get really, really, really shuffled around.
This is the time of year, because spring break is coming up, that which has no effect on my life, personally.
It next week.
How my life interacts with the rest of the world is affected by it, but it's like I don't get to enjoy spring break. I never did anything for spring break when I was the right age to go, you know, in college. And it's like, oh yeah, spring break. I'm like, I just didn't go to class. And I think I worked a full schedule that, you know, work.
Right. Yeah, we were responsible.
Oh, it was just poor.
that too.
I didn't like to be, I thought that I needed more beer money. One of the things that my day gig is in the medical world. And... it's like everything this week, and admittedly, we're only 2 days into the week, but nothing this week has been the way it normally is.
Oh, sure.
Monday was not remotely like Monday was supposed to be. Today was not remotely like today was supposed to be.
And that actually gives me hope that Friday won't be like it normally is, and they let you go early. Yeah, you can come out when you record
our
podcast.
We'll see. These are medical specimens. Everything comes into my lab over the weekend. I mean, it's like we're not there.
Yeah.
But there are weekend couriers who bring that stuff in. So I walk in Monday morning, I should have lots of things to deal with.
And you didn't?
And I didn't. And I'm like,
it's a quiet weekend.
Like, interesting. So Tuesday morning, walk in. It's like, wait a minute. So this could be a very strange week. But yeah. I've been told that maybe it's because of spring break. People are like,
it could be.
I don't want to schedule anything.
Yeah.
Because I want to go party or whatever.
Or they're going, there's a lot of people going out of town.
Yeah.
Or they'll have their kids.
Yeah.
And they won't be able to do anything. Right. So yeah, there's could be any number.
So
of
it's yeah, like it would be nice. One of the things that unfortunately we are looking at is that Friday when we would love to be recording H2O. I would love to be on the show.
We're going to panel at 2:30.
There's going to be an H2O recording. I may not be there. Odds are looking poor. We'd like to figure out a way. If it's possible for me to call in, we'll see. But that may not.
I wonder if maybe we could get Carrie Elways to sit in.
If you know what? Ask him.
Oh wait, who's got an H in their name? let's see. There's Chris Holden Reed from Lost Girl.
There you go.
There's that's it. As far as the celebrity goes, we could always ask Laura Vandervoort.
You just want to ask her questions.
I did get a chance to interview her in Dallas 2 years ago.
So you're done? You never have to talk to her again? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm just checking.
Time now I can say, Laura, nice to see you again. See? Because now we have a history.
Right.
And it doesn't involve restraining orders. So, you know.
I'm sure she'll remember you.
No, she won't. Well, she actually might. This is a funny story.
Right, so is there,
this is a funny story.
There is a restraining order.
No, okay. There's not. Okay, so Froggy does all of the pictures. Froggy Pictures does all the hits all the conventions.
Sure.
And you go to the portrait and you get your picture taken with the star and you pay $40-$50 for the picture, right? So I asked Laura Vandervoort for an interview. Mm-hmm. Take about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Whenever you have a minute. If you're available, that's fine. We'll work around your schedule.
Sure.
And she said, "Well, I'm set to go over here to the Froggy guys and do pictures for an hour. Why don't we do it right before then? You just meet me over there and we'll do it and then I'll go in." Okay, great. Fine. No problem. I'm thinking we do it out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
She took us in into the Froggy set where the backdrop is and we do the interview there.
Oh, okay.
And the photography guys were not happy because we're cramping their, we're interrupting their workflow.
Sure.
Because they're not shooting pictures. We're there on doing the interview. I was like, I wasn't expecting to do it here. So it was a very, very truncated interview. It was not long as I wanted it to be because I'm sitting there and I'm feeling completely out of place. I feel like I'm intruding because, granted, Laura said, let's go in here and let's just do this real quick. Okay, fine. I mean, she's the okay, but it was. I felt bad. I mean, I got the interview, but I felt bad getting doing
right
because sitting there because
you were in somebody else's way.
I was,
and that was
I felt bad about that. But she made. I don't know. If
she made you
that or not.
She made you do it.
She made me do it.
You didn't have a choice.
Supergirl forced me.
And well, she's stronger than you.
She is. Although at that time she was an alien. She was doing V at the time.
She's still prettier than you.
She is.
Yeah.
most of the people that are showing up at this thing are prettier than I am. So let's see. Who else is going to be there? Erin Gray is going to be there.
We love Erin Gray.
Erin Gray actually was our very, 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 very first interview when Sci-Fi for Me got started in March of 2009. Mm-hmm. It was about 3 weeks away from Planet Comic-Con. Which at the time was in the Overland Park International Trade Center, which is a very small space compared to where we are now. And I didn't think we were going to get in for media passes or anything like that. And to be honest, I don't know that they'd ever even considered media passes
Back then, probably not.
So I contacted them and said, hey, you know, we're a brand new magazine or website. We're trying to get this stuff done. Is there any way that we could come out? We could shoot some interviews? Because I had the camera.
Sure.
I had some people that were willing to help. And said, oh, yeah, fine. Okay. So Kevin Dillmore, who writes Star Trek novels with Dayton Ward,
right.
He volunteered to actually conduct the interviews because I couldn't conduct the interview and run the camera at the same time.
Right. Sure.
Because, you know, reasons. And she was the very first person that we interviewed on camera for Sci-Fi for Me. And that was back 2009. This is going to be our seventh Planet Comic-Con in a row. Sean Gunn's going to be there.
Yeah.
Tom Kane's going to be there. We like Tom.
We like Tom a lot.
Tom's a good friend of the show. Kent McCord.
Mm-hmm.
From Adam 12, and
Farscape.
Yeah. Farscape, yes. I mean, most genre people will know him from Farscape.
Oh, I watched him in Adam 12.
Galactica 80. He was the grown up boxy.
I watched him in Adam 12.
I did too.
I admit it. I watched Battlestar Galactica 80.
I did.
I wanted the motorcycles that flew, but that's about all the only good thing I can say about that show.
Speaking of motorcycles that fly.
Yes.
We can go from motorcycles that fly to models of motorcycles that fly to stuff that you put on your shelf to superherostuff.com because we've got to take a break.
We do, but that's an A to B to C to D that actually works.
It does.
And you know what? They are huge, huge supporters of ours. They are a sponsor of this show.
Yes.
And there's so much great stuff over at that website.
Yeah, and we do appreciate their support. We do appreciate their sponsorship, and we're going to let you hear from them. And we're going to go refill coffee mugs. Let me use my words.
Because we're going to need a lot of it over the course of the weekend.
Yes, we are. All right, we're going to be right back when H2O continues. Stand by.
You're listening to H2O on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Okay, Tom, try it now.
Superherostuff.com.
One more time.
Superherostuff.com.
Well, we want them to visit superherostuff.com, so maybe a little bigger.
Superherostuff.com.
There we go. That really gets in your head, doesn't it?
Hey everyone, Leslie Walker of Sci-Fi for Me here, just to give you a little reminder that our super smart crew members share their thoughts weekly on the DC shows Gotham, The Flash, and Arrow. Check out our podcast where we discuss these shows and story arcs, character development, plot twists, misses, and wins, or if you'd rather check in for a quick recap read, we have you covered there as well. So, join us for some DC-flavored morsels at sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Back on H2O, Jason Hunt here along with Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Talking about our plans for Planet Comic-Con.
Wah-ha-ha.
And, we've talked about, the different experiences that we've had at Planet Comic-Con before. Aaron Gray has been here before. I've had a chance to talk to Laura Vanderwart at Dallas Comic Con, and she's going to be back. Tom Kane, of course, we've had a chance to talk to him, and we've worked with him, and he does a lot of the voice stuff for us. Sam Witwer is going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
And we just got the announcement last week that he is joining the cast of Star Wars Rebels as the Emperor. He's going to play Palpatine in Rebels, which is a role he's played in the video games, but he's not played it in any of the animated stuff. In the animated, he's been Darth Maul and a couple of others, but Tim Curry was the last person to play Palpatine in an animated version at the very end of Clone Wars.
Oh, right.
And, of course, that's before Tim Curry got sick,
right.
And then the show got canceled, so we never really got that chance to hear what Tim Curry could do with that character. It turns out he's not going to do much because Sam Witwer is going to play the character.
Right.
And we're going to have to ask Tom. I don't think he's been talked to yet. He's not doing anything on Rebels yet.
I haven't. I thought.
Because Frank Oz did Yoda.
Right.
And I don't know that Tom is doing any other character, because he does a number of characters in Clone Wars. He, you know, he plays Admiral Yularen, and he plays the, he does the narrator, and he's Yoda.
Right.
And in some versions of I think video games, he's even played C-3PO.
Hmm.
So I don't know that he's doing anything in Rebels yet, though. And we know Sarah Michelle Gellar is coming in, you know, Freddie Prinze's wife, also known as Buffy,
mm-hmm.
the Vampire Slayer. She's going to have a role. And Ahsoka Tano, Ashley Eckstein, is back as Ahsoka. For those of you who didn't see the end of the season for Star Wars Rebels, Ahsoka Tano is back.
Right.
As a grown-up. She's about the same age as Kanan.
Yeah.
So we got two Red Power Rangers coming, Steve Cardenas yes. and Jason Fong.
And they will fight. No, wait.
And they will fight. Yes.
Let them fight.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that.
Of course, Cary Elwes.
Yes.
The Man in Black. The Dread Pirate Roberts.
Who was it? Who was saying that we should walk up to him? And, oh, it was Kendall. I loved you in Saw 7.
He was in a Saw movie, wasn't he?
He was in two of them.
He was in Psych. He played him on Psych. Mm-hmm.
He was in the cheerfully never complete, never aired Wonder Woman pilot.
Yes. Should we ask him about that?
No.
What were you thinking?
He was thinking that he'd be part of the Wonder Woman TV show.
He'd get paid.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But
and he was Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah. In fact,
but for a lot of us,
oh, for so many people,
he's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
That's right.
He is the Man in Black.
He is Wesley.
He is Wesley.
As you wish. Well, you know what? That's one of those films that really is one of those films that is, it's something there for everybody.
Yeah.
It is cross genders. It's cross generations. It's
cross genres.
Yeah, if you are very young or not young at all, everything in the middle. If you think that love is a beautiful thing, or that love marriage is what brings us together today. If you think love is a terrible thing, you've got it all there. It's a really classic movie. And yeah. To hear,
you know what's going to happen in 5 years? Is they're going to either reboot it or do a they're going to do a sequel? They'll do Buttercup's Baby,
the reboot of A Princess Bride. I don't think you can do it.
Somebody will want to try.
I don't think you can do it.
They're trying to make a live action Akira. They will try to reboot A Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Who would you get to play Fezzik though? I mean, there's nobody who could play Fezzik.
No.
You just couldn't. I mean, you can't.
No, you'd have.
I mean,
you'd have
to do it all digital effects now. That would spoil it.
You'd have to change too much. You really would have to change too much, because I think that there's just so many individual pieces of that make it work.
Yeah.
And people were cast. Cary Elwes and Robin Wright were unknowns.
Yes.
And
that actually was Robin Wright's very first.
Yes, it
thing,
was.
Anything.
And
now she's on House of Cards.
That's right. And she's aging so well. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I've had a crush on her since Princess Bride.
I think a lot of people have a crush on her.
And she's a genuinely interesting person. She understands her career in a way that I think that she really shows.
You know who they would get to play Buttercup now would be Taylor Swift. And it actually might work, because she's got that fresh face, young, pretty, I mean, she could do it.
All right, yeah, well, who's going to play Wesley?
Who would you play Wesley? Channing Tatum. No, I'd scratch that. That's a good question, because you don't have... You'd have to go with somebody who doesn't have really a whole lot of
right, but you know, baggage. Nobody there, but they're not going to cast unknowns. You know, it would be a bad idea. Don't ever do it. Let a film stand on its own. It's like there's a reason you haven't properly remade. You know, no one has
good luck with that.
Ever really made a remake of Casablanca.
we're getting a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird from Harper Lee. I mean, nothing is sacred anymore.
Well, but the thing is that at least that came from the pen of the... Yeah. And it was actually written before. I mean, the book, the sequel is written before. She wrote... That was the first version of the story. And then she went back and wrote a second book that we know is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, still, you know.
Well, and the good news is that apparently, you know, who knows for sure, but for all the concerns about her state of mental state, she apparently was with it enough to tell a reporter to leave her alone.
Yeah. Also showing up at Planet Comic Con, Rafael Sabarge, who plays Jiminy Cricket. Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things. And we actually, Annalee Josephs got to talk to him. We have a podcast on our website,
mm-hmm.
an interview. If you go to the Sci-Fi for Me radio tab, it's not really part of any show. So it's on that main page. You can scroll down. It's a conversation with Rafael Sabarge. AJ got to talk to him last year. Right before... There was a big break, mid-season break, I think, Once Upon a Time,
mm-hmm.
before half the cast didn't come back forever.
Right.
And he was part of that. It was when they went to Neverland. And then we had all of that Neverland arc where we only had a handful of the cast. And we didn't get to storybook that much. So we had a conversation with him right before that. We talked about Kent McCord. Mitch Pileggi is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
X-Files, right. Stargate.
So many things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Garrett Lang, who's actually going to be doing some moderating at some other panels in addition to doing his own panel there. So apparently that's become his thing. He enjoys actually moderating panels for other stars. So
that's cool.
Yeah, he has fun with that. So we're gonna have that. We have the cast of Lost Girl, Chris Holden Reed, Rachel Skarsten, Emmanuel Varr. Now I didn't realize this until it got pointed out to me. Rachel Skarsten, who's on Lost Girl right now,
mm-hmm.
she was Black Canary in Birds of Prey.
Oh wow!
She was the young Dinah Lance, Black Canary 2, because her mother,
right,
was played by Lori Loughlin.
Right. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. How much wow. flashbacking do we do now? And we actually are going to be out there doing some panels of our own.
Yes.
Friday at 2:30. We're supposed to be recording an H2O, but I don't know exactly what we're going to do yet.
A version of
something.
H2O.
We will be doing something
we'll be
there. And then on Saturday, comic book artist Kevin McGuire wanted to do a panel about superhero movies.
Yes.
The evolution of superhero movies. Where they've been, where they are now, where we think they're going, and wanted to have a conversation. So we're going to be joining that panel
mm-hmm.
As part of a group that's going to be talking about superhero movies. And we can go, I think we're going to go all the way back. We could go back to the Corman Fantastic Four.
Oh, I think we should.
Captain America.
All of these.
Yeah, we could do all of this stuff from the 70s. So we're going to be talking about that on Saturday, and then recording
everything.
Yeah,
there's going to
be so much stuff this year.
We were going through the list, and it's like, do we record this?
Yeah, I guess we should.
What about this one? Yeah, we should record that. What about this one? Yeah, we should record that.
Do we really want to record this one?
We should record that one. I think there was like one thing, and.
Well, Rudy Reyes is going to be out there. He's a U.S. Marine. He's played himself. He's been on a bunch of reality stuff mm-hmm. where, you know, the pick yourself up by your bootstraps type of thing,
right.
I think. And I'm moderating his panel on Sunday. But that's the one where we kind of went back and forth because he's not genre. And we're still trying to figure out exactly why he's there. But right. I mean, and not to say he shouldn't be, but you know, there's a reason why he's there. We just haven't been told.
Right.
But, yeah, he's going to be one. But there's going to be a My Little Pony panel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Friendship is Magic.
Friendship is Magic.
Yeah, we have to make that distinction. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, because that's a completely separate thing from My Little Pony. and we have to honor that distinction, because otherwise I'll hear about it. But yeah, the Friendship is Magic, and there's going to be artists from the IDW comic talking about Friendship is Magic and the book, you know, the comic book line and all of the stuff over there. So that's coming, and we do need to record that panel, because yeah, we've talked to John Delancey about the Brony documentary, mm-hmm, and he played a character.
Sure.
And I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but he's been involved in that project. We've talked to him a couple of different times about that that documentary that he's been a part of. So yeah, so that panel. There are comic book artists from Kansas City that are going to be doing a panel. Marvel's got a panel. DC's got a panel. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of cosplay panels this year.
Oh, yeah.
Abby Darkstar is going to be, mm-hmm, here. Chloe Dykstra,
right,
is going to be here. Scotty Young. We got a number of artists. Tim Bradstreet. We mentioned Kevin Maguire. Jason Aaron, who's writing the Star Wars comic book now for Marvel. Stan Sakai.
Mm, right.
C.B. Cebulski. Now, he's somebody that I want to sit and talk to, because he is the vice president of Marvel. And I want to have a conversation with him about what they're doing over there right now, because Battle Zone is essentially the destruction of all of their universes.
Right.
After which there will be a brand new Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
616 will be gone. Ultimate Marvel will be gone. All of the Marvel universes that we know and love and cherish.
Crisis on Infinite Marvel.
It's basically
universes,
yeah. It's yeah. Crisis on Marvel Earths. That's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to him about that, because that's a pretty big thing.
It is.
To erase 616. Because we all thought that Ultimate was going away. We all saw the signs.
Yeah, you know,
that's
something
that we've been anticipating for a while, that Ultimate would be going away, and some of those characters would cross over into 616, and they'd be done. But they're going beyond that. They're destroying everything and rebuilding from scratch. So, we're going to talk to him. Dan Parent's going to be out there. Andy Price. Let's see, Jason Latour, Andy Parks, Phil Hester, Tim Townsend, Howard Chaykin.
Yeah.
So we've got Howard Chaykin, who wrote the original Marvel Star Wars comic book.
Yeah.
And now we've got Jason Aaron, who's writing the current Marvel Star Wars comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to put them together.
They would be.
Just have them compare notes.
Yeah.
Say, you know, how is it different? How did you do it? How are you doing it? And compare processes and just see how things are different.
I would imagine, I'd be really interested. Yeah, really kind of cool, because I would imagine the difference between which one of them had more control.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would imagine that Chaykin had a lot more freedom.
Well, and did you see, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Star Wars, Lucasfilm, announced today, the day we're recording this is Tuesday, announced today there are going to be 20 books.
Mm-hmm. Ranging in age.
All the different
comic books are included. They're including comic books in the books.
That are going to fill in the gaps between Return of the Jedi and A Force Awakens.
Was it four different publishing platforms?
Yes.
Two of which are different book publishing companies?
Yeah. Massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're coming out this fall. 22 books this fall.
All at once.
Yeah.
It's going to be this massive info dump of, here's what's happened in the Star Wars universe the last 30 years that isn't the expanded universe that you know and love for the last 30 years.
And go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be,
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I guess my issue is that for the really dedicated fan, you're looking at like all the money right now. You know, you have to really, I mean, because.
Yeah.
Not that you can't buy things in on an individual level, but there's sort of a publishing model that we're used to is, all right, here's the first book in the series.
Yeah, because Star Trek, we did one a month.
Right, and this comes out this month, and then the next month comes out
book
two and book three.
This is everything.
Yeah, apparently all at once. So this
And part of them is going to be the original trilogy told from the points of view of some of the minor characters.
Yeah.
So you're going to get that different thing in there as well. But the corporate line is that all of them are going to point forward to episode 7.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, if we can, I wonder if there's a way to get those two in on the same camera.
Howard and Jason.
Jason. Yeah.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? It'd be nice.
That'd be really cool.
Well, see, and the thing about it is, though, too, we can talk to C.B. Cebulski about, you know, what about the Marvel parts of the Star Wars things. That, hey, you know, how is this working? Because you guys got, I mean, there's got to be a ton of coordination between all of the different things. And the fact that all of this was done in secret from so many, you know, like you said, four different publishing platforms, the comics, all of this other stuff. And suddenly, boom, here we go. Everything's going.
Yeah.
And nobody leaked it. Nobody knew this was coming. And all of a sudden, we're sitting there going, 20 books all at once?
That's because the conversation went, hi, I'm gonna ask you to join our writing group of Marvel, our writing group of Star Wars, and these are our lawyers.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Well, and how many times have they made the joke, you know, when somebody shows up on a talk show, like Don Cheadle did that one time, talking about Iron Man or Iron Man 2 or whenever it was. No, it was Iron Man 3. And they were asking him about story, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, well, I can tell you. But then, and then, of course, you got all the little lasers, the little laser pointers, you know, the sights set on him. They make a joke out of that.
Right.
But you have to wonder just how much truth is in, not necessarily, not that they would kill anybody off, but the fact that you have that batch of lawyers.
Well, you know, every you sign a contract when you want to work for these folks, even if it's just on one picture, right? You're signing it. You're this is your
life. But you are signing away a lot when you do that. I mean, I would imagine the confidentiality. The consequences of violating the confidentiality clause is probably pretty steep.
It's probably pretty financial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like you are going, here's going to be your flat fee, and here's what you're going to get on the back end. Because you know that, you know, I think I would imagine that if you're a big enough star, they're offering you points.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, yeah, you lose all your points.
Right.
Well, you'll get your flat fee or whatever it is. But I mean, yeah, I think that. And I think, I don't, you know what, I don't think it's unreasonable.
Well, no, I wouldn't think so.
I think it's, you know, for some of this
stuff.
Because
you get to play in the Star Wars sandbox.
Exactly.
I'm perfectly willing to keep my mouth shut if you let me write a Star Wars book.
And I think that, you know, if it wasn't a good deal, then I think some actor would sit there and go, I'm going to tell you everything because I don't care. You know, it's not like if you develop a bad reputation at one studio, you're done.
Right.
It's not quite. It's not like that. I mean, somebody's going to pick you up just for the scandal possibilities. So. Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Since we drop these episodes on Thursday, and Planet Comic Con hasn't happened on Thursday yet. Thursday is when we load in all of our gear and our, you know, set up our cameras and equipment and stuff. Send us an email. If you've got a question, if you've got a burning question that you must have to know, we are going to do our best to get interviews with all sorts of people this weekend, comic book artists and comic book writers and the celebrities, the actors and all that. And I've been told that we are going to have better access than we've have in the past. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We'll see how well that works out because, you know, people running back and forth in schedules. And when you actually get into real people implementing a plan, that sometimes doesn't go according to plan.
Right, of course.
So the idea here is for us to get as many interviews as possible. And so you who are listening to the show, if you have questions that you would like us to ask during our interviews or during panels, if we can, you know, any of the panels that we're moderating, we're going to moderate Ming-Na Wen, we're going to moderate the Red Power Rangers, Mitch Pileggi, Stephen Amell.
Right.
I think those are the headliners that we've got.
Right.
The stars of sci-fi, the one with Laura Vandoort.
right,
and that group, and the Lost Girl cast reunion. Those panels are the ones that we're going to be moderating. If you've got questions for any of those people, send us an email, H2O at scififorme.com. I was up till 3 last night.
Yeah.
So I'm doing pretty good to even be coherent.
You've got a lot
now.
Going on this week.
So, yeah, H2O at scififorme.com. Let us know what your question is and who it's for. And we will do our best to get those questions out in front of people and see if we can get some answers. In the meantime, if you enjoy this show, one of the things that I would like to ask of you as an audience member, this is an invitation to be our ambassador. We would like for you to share these shows with people you think might be interested in these topics. If you have friends that enjoy science fiction, you have friends that enjoy comic books or video games, if you would point them in our direction, we would greatly appreciate it, because this is our big push year. 2015, it's like they say in the NFL, it's a building year,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we're trying to get more people reading our articles and listening to our podcasts and watching our shows. So if you have friends that would be interested in this kind of thing, send them our way, tell them about us, and don't keep us to yourselves.
Share.
Yes, share, because your mother taught you to share. And that's going to do it for us. You can find us on the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, and Tumblr. And we are going to be able to, like I said, we are going to be live tweeting this weekend. We're going to be on Instagram posting photos all over the place of all over the things, cosplayers and vendors and stuff that we see. And so you want to check that out. Just look for Sci-Fi For Me. It's with a number 4. And that's how we are on all of the social media. So get connected with us on all of that. And we will be posting to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and having fun the whole time. We are running ourselves into the ground, and Monday we sleep. That's going to do it for us. And next week we'll be talking about something that we will be recording out at Planet Comic Con.
That's
so
right.
Next week we get the live from the event version of this show. And in the meantime, we do encourage you to visit superherostuff.com and pick up some licensed merchandise there for your shelf in your home or office.
Cool stuff there.
And we will be back next week. Thanks very much for listening. Tim Harvey.
Always a pleasure.
I am Jason Hunt, and that's going to do it for us. Thanks very much for listening, folks.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.